الله يبارك.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ علي. السلام عليكم. الحمد لله بخير يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، إخوة in the moods of Eid and Hajj, we are all still in the mood of Eid and in the mood of Hajj. In the mood of Eid for those of us at home. More so, today is a work-free day in our home country. So we are likely still enjoying from the enjoyment of Eid, even though in the Sharia, the Eid ended yesterday. Yesterday was the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah. And that is the last of the 3 days of Eid. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in a hadith that Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani had reported from him, he said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ayyamu tashriq, ayyamu aklin wa shurbin wa dhikrin lillah. Ayyam al-Tashriq, the 3 days of al-Tashriq, that is 11th, the 12th, and the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah. And those days used to be referred to as Ayyam al-Tashriq amongst the Arabs, because on those days, the animals that were slaughtered were spread in the sun by way of preserving them. So you preserve them in the sun, was why those days were called Ayyam al-Tashriq. Those the days that we take to preserve the meat, the camels, the cows, the rams that we had slaughtered on Yawm al-Nahri. Don't forget, those days too are Ayyam al-Zabh. Those days too are Ayyam al-Nahri, days that we can slaughter our rams. So we can slaughter our rams either on the 10th on Yawm al-Nahri itself, or 11th, or the 12th, or the 13th. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said to us that those days, they are days of aklin wa shurbin. They are days of feasting, eating food, taking drinks, and all of these. Wa dhikrin lillah. They are also from the days of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember that Allah told us in the Quran that وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Give the remembrance of Allah on those clearly set out days. Those clearly set out numbered days, they are Ayyam al-Tashriq and Yawm al-Nahri itself. The ulama say that wazkurullah that Allah mentioned in that verse, it refers to those takbirat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Wa lillahi alhamd, that we say on Ayyam al-Tashriq. That would have ended yesterday, both al-mutlaq and al-muqayyad. Those takbirat would have ended yesterday at Ghurub al-Shams. because that was the end of Ayyam al-Tashriq for those of us at home. And those were the end of Ayyam al-Mina for those of us at Hajj. Because the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ayyam al-Mina salasa, the days of Mina are three. That is the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah. So he said, فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. So anyone who ended his Hajj in 2 days of the three, from 11th and 12th, he ended his Hajj on the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah. فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ. Anyone who delays onto the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah, so he completes his Hajj on the 3rd day of Ayyam al-Mina. Like he said at the beginning, that Ayyam al-Mina salasa, the days of Mina, the days of staying in Mina are three. So we stone the pebbles on those 3 days. Those of us at Hajj, we stone the pebbles on those three days. And don't forget that when we go to the Jamarat, we stone the smallest, then the mid one, then the biggest of them, Al-Jamaratul Aqaba, which is nearest in the direction of Mecca. That will be the third to stone on those 3 days, on 11th, on the 12th, and on the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah. If you complete 3 days, for those of us at Hajj, you stoned 11th, you stoned 12th, and you also made it on the 13th. Fala isma alayhi. Allah told us in the Quran, he said, liman ittaqa. So faman ta'ajjala. Fala isma alayhi liman ittaqa. Waman ta'akhara. Fala isma alayhi liman ittaqa. This is the well-known, accepted meaning of this verse amongst the scholars of tafsir. If you hastened and completed your Hajj on the 12th day of Dhul-Hijjah, as long as it was upon consciously fearing Allah and sincerity, then there is no blame on you. Likewise, if you waited on the 3rd day to complete your Hajj on the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah, Fala Ismaili, there's no blame on you also. As long as it was upon At-Taqwa, consciously fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being upon Ikhlas. That's all, Ikhwa. For those of us at Hajj, you made those tunings, you trekked all the way from the Nigerian tent. It was about 1 hour going, 1 hour coming back, 1 hour 15 minutes to the Jamarat, 1 hour 15 minutes back to the tent. It's a long journey, Ikhwa. The temperatures here were very hot. On some days, it rose up to 43 degrees. 43. We heard that at home, it was rainfall. But here it was sunshine. Everywhere was hot, especially at the time of going for the time when stoning at the Jamarat starts. Because stoning at the Jamarat is Ma Ba'da Zawal Shams, from after the sun descends from the horizon, from the time of Salatul Zuhur. From this time, the sun was very, very high, Ikhwa. Very high, 42 degrees, 43 degrees. Everywhere was hot. And yet you see Hujjaj would come out and stoning would commence. for each of these that we have done, there are a lot of rewards for it, bi-idhnillah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, al-Imam al-Bazzar, reported this hadith, and al-Imam Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani in Silsilatul Ahadith al-Sahiha. Ikhwa, find time to look for this hadith. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma reported the hadith, and al-Imam al-Albani in Silsilatul Sahiha, hadith 2515. Ibn Abbas reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that he said, إِذَا رَمَيْتَ الْجِمَارِ كَانَ لَكَ نُورًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِذَا رَمَيْتَ الْجِمَارِ كَانَ لَكَ نُورًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ When you go to stone, when you stone the pebbles at Al-Jamarat, the first, the second, the third on أَيَّامُ مِنَا كَانَ لَكَ نُورًا يوم القيامة. The Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, that it will be a means of light, a means of brightness for you on the Day of Judgment, Ikhwah. Stoning at the Jamarat is a means of light for those who do it on the Day of Qiyamah. You want light? One way to obtain light, nur, for yourself on the Day of Qiyamah is to stone at Al-Jamarat. We said that that happens on the 11th, on the 12th, and on the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Anyone who does it, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان لك نورا يوم القيامة. It becomes a means of light and brightness, huge for you on the Day of Qiyamah. This hadith is Hassan, according to Al-Imam Al-Albani in Silsilatul Sahiha. In another hadith, the Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, that إنما جعل الطواف بالبيت وبين الصفا والمروة ورمي الجمار لإقامة ذكر الله تعالى. The tawaf you make, likewise the sa'y you make between al-safa wal-marwa, ورمي الجمار. رمي الجمار, stoning the three pillars on 11th, on the 12th, and on the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah, or on the 11th and 12th day of Dhul-Hijjah. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has established that for us, so that li'iqamati zikrillah, it becomes a means for us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see that each time you are throwing a pebble, what do you say? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, 7 on each of them. So for each day, you make 21 stonings. And then you remember Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, that Allah told us about in Surah As-Saffat. He had had a dream alayhi salatu wassalam, and he told his son, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنِّ أَنِّي أَذْضَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. My son, I had a dream, أَنِّي أَذْضَحُكَ, because the ru'ya of Anbiya is wahyu. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said, ru'ya al-Anbiya wahyun, the dreams that the Anbiya see is means by which Allah inspires and communicates with them. So Ibrahim told his son Ismail, his only son at the time was Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, I saw in my dream that you should be slaughtered. فانظر ماذا ترى. Let me have what you think about what I have just said. The son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah told us that he told his father, إِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ فَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You would find me from among those who will be patient. Allah said, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. When the two of them submitted to this instruction from Allah, وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. Ibrahim tied down his son, he's facing the ground. The ulama say, so that he's not held down by the pity and compassion of the parent over the child. Tallahu lil jabin. He made his face to be on the ground. Allah says, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا Ibrahim. So we called on unto Ibrahim. Say, Ya Ibrahim, O Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. That's your ru'ya. That your dream is already established. So Allah said, Inna kadhalika najzi al-muhsin, innahuma min ibadina al-muhsinin, min ibadina al-mu'minin. In fact, he said that this issue is big bala, bala'un azim, that so the major trial that Allah tried Ibrahim and his son Ismail. When Ibrahim was preparing his son Ismail from this instruction to slaughter him, Shaitan appeared to him, as is reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas, and that occurs in the Mustadrak of Al-Imam Hakim, and the Isnad is Sahih. Some of the ulama say it is Hassan, that Shaitan appeared to Ibrahim on that occasion to convince him against obeying his Lord. So when Allah said, Falama aslama watallahu lil jadid, Shaitan came to tell him, don't agree, don't accept. The same way he comes to tell us when we want to observe salah, when we want to give sadaqah, when we want to fast tatawwu, when we want to do khairat, good deeds, Shaitan will come to prevent you, to convince you against that instrument. So Shaitan appeared to Ibrahim to convince him against following that instruction from Allah. In that report, it said that Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, he stoned him until he got weakened. Ibrahim stoned Iblis until he got weakened on the ground. So he left him and continued his journey to take his son to the place to implement that injunction. He came to him again. You want to kill your only son, the one you waited all your life to have. Ibrahim picked up pebbles and began to stone him again. And it happened also on the third occasion. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, whenever he said this, he would say, Al-shaytanu tarjumun wa millatu abikum tattabi'un. This hadith also occurs in As-Sunan al-Kubra by Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi and Al-Imam al-Albani, reported it sahih in At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, that Al-shaytanu tarjumun وَمِلَّةُ أَبِيكُمْ تَتَّبِعُونَ. Let me interpret the second part and leave the first part for you. That الشَّيْطَانُ تَرْجُمُونَ. Ibn Abbas said, رضي الله عنهما, he reported this hadith. And then after it, he explained it. He said, الشَّيْطَانُ تَرْجُمُونَ وَمِلَّةُ أَبِيكُمْ تَتَّبِعُونَ. So our stoning at Al-Jamarat is following the Sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, to stone Iblis, turn him away from us. People bring a lot of things that are not part part of it is making the pebbles be bigger than Hafal Khaf. Those stones the Arabs used to make Al-Khafu. Al-Khafu is a play Arabs would play. They put the stone in between two of their fingers and this of the stone. It's a play they play. It wounds people, and the Prophet prohibited it. So the stone, the size of the stone with which they do that, is the size of the stone that we are to employ at the Jamarat. Something in the size of, just bigger than the size of maize, just a bit bigger than that, or bigger than the size of big beans, you know, big beans, something just a bit bigger than that, not the size of gravels and pebbles. So we stone at Al-Jamarat, following the Sunnah of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. So as you do the stoning, it comes to mind. So keep away shaitan from your deeds of worship. He would come to you firstly to say, don't do it. Then and when you start it, he wants to make you show off so that your deeds may be destroyed. May Allah protect us from shaitan and not make him have any share from our deeds with which we seek Allah's favor. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also told us in a very lengthy hadith that لَكَ بِكُلِّ حَفَاتٍ تَكْفِيرُ كَبِيرٍ مِنَ الْمُوبِقَاتِ بِكُلِّ حَفَاتٍ. For every stone you throw at Al-Jamarat, what do you get? تَكْفِيرُ كَبِيرَةٍ مِنَ الْمُوبِقَاتِ. Allah uses it as a stone for the major sins that you had committed amongst those destructive sins. One day, mommy called you, you frowned. One day, mommy was talking to you, your voice was louder. Yes, you would regret it. The matter is that it is recorded. One day, think about those sins that you have committed that are from Al-Kabair. One way by which Allah atones Al-Kabair for you when you come for Hajj is when you stone those pebbles at Al-Jamarat. So for each of them, you throw 7, 7, 7, 21, Abi, on 11th. The following day too, 21 on the 12th. That is 42. These are the sins that Allah removes from you. Not from the Sazairo, from the Kaba'ir. That he said in Tajtanibu Kaba'ir ma tunhauna anhu, nukafir ankum sayyatikum. From the means of takfiru al-Kaba'ir, atoning and cleansing ourselves from the major sins, is that stoning we make at Al-Jamarat. When you throw those pebbles for each of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expiates those sins for you. So it means it's a duty that we should take, very important. Don't pick the pebbles that are too big. Then go at the time when you are supposed to go. These are problems now. Many of the people, in fact, I know people who went to Jamarat before Salatul Fajr, very early in the morning. These are wrong practices. Don't go and stone the Jamarat in the morning before Zawal Shams, before the time of Zuhur. Don't go. And this is why I like to tell those of us who have not performed Hajj at all, or those of us who have performed Hajj again, look for a good group of people to go with. Because if you are in a group of 30, everybody is going to Jamarat in the morning, you may find it difficult not to go. They may be threatening you, we will drop you, we will do this, we will do that. Please, the first thing you do after you have your intention and money to go for Hajj, go with a good team. It is very common now that people are abandoning this sunnah. What is that? Don't go to Jamarat until it is time for it. don't go to Jamarat until the time for it comes. Just like you will not perform Salatul Zuhur until it is time for Zuhur. You will not also perform Salatul Asri until it is time for Salatul Asri. But these days you find people going to the Jamarat before the time of stoning at Al-Jamarat. This is not proper. This is not proper at all. It's not proper. It's very, very common. And I don't know whether we have started speaking against it as it's appropriate. Do not go to stone at Jamarat before the time of Jamarat. Don't go and stone at Jamarat before the time for Jamarat. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar, they all say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established stoning at Al-Jamarat. Ba'd Abdullah al-Ansari in radiyallahu anhu that Roma Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-jamrata yawm al-nahri duhan. On yawm al-nahr, on the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, the Prophet duha wa the chance that we take note of these. These are the last duties of Hajj. Stoning at the Jamarat on the 11th, on the 12th, and on the 13th Zulhijjah. So I congratulate all our brothers who have come for Hajj. May Allah accept your Hajj. May Allah make it a means of cleansing for you. May Allah bring you and us many more times, Ikhwah. Don't forget when you make your tawaf, tawaful wada. It's another problem people have in Hajj. They delay tawaful ifada. Ikhwah, let us avoid all of these kinds of practice. In the past, delaying salatul ifada used to be a practice. Tawaful ifada is a tawaf on the day of Eid, Yawm al-Nahri. The Prophet made his own alayhi salatu wasalam on Yawm al-Nahri. He left Muzdalifah. Ikhwa, look at this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left Muzdalifah. He came to Makkah alayhi salatu wa sallam. Before that, he had stoned the pebbles at Al-Jamratul Aqaba on Yawm al-Nahri. He has slaughtered 63 animals sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his hands and ordered Ali to slaughter the rest. He made 100. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, he shaved his head at Mina. Then he came to Makkah. He observed Tawaful Ifada, observed Salatul Zuhr, and returned to Mina. When he returned to Mina, he found some people still praying Salatul Zuhr. He led them in Salatul Zuhr again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In all of this, between that time we leave Muzdalifah and Zuhr, it came to Makkah, made Zuhur, and returned. For us, many of our people, pilgrims today, especially those who go with the state government, after they stone the pebbles at Mina, they just return to tent at Mina instead of coming straight to Makkah to make their tawaful ifada. They just return to the tent in Mina. It used to be state pilgrims alone. We have started seeing some of our brothers doing it too. Ikhwah, let us stop this practice. Let us stop it. Come and make tawaful ifada on Yawm al-Nahri. That is the best for the pilgrims you are set to guide. Tawaful ifada on that day. After your stoning at Al-Jamarat on the day of Eid, Yawm al-Nahri, come straight to Makkah. Walk down. Prepare for it. Walk down to Makkah. Yes, because it is difficult to find any vehicle anywhere moving in that direction. He walked down. The Prophet walked down with his companions. Why you are coming, if you find a vehicle, okay. If you don't find a vehicle, walk back to Mecca. Walk back to Mecca. Avoid postponing Tawaf al-Ifada. Tawaf al-Ifada, many of the scholars believe that it is from the arkan of Hajj. It is a rukun from the arkan. How do we want to be joking with something like this? So let us make Tawaf al-Ifada on Yawm al-Nahri as it's the sunnah. And then return to Mina for Ayyam al-Tashriq on the 11th, on the 12th, and on the 13th. May Allah accept this Hajj for all of us. Those of us who were at home, who were busy with Takbirat, who were busy with fasting on the day of Arafah, who were busy with slaughtering on the day of Nahar, who were providing food for friends, for relatives, for neighbors, for parents. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of these as good deeds we have done for his sake. We beg him subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep for many more years. I like remember my brother and my friend again, Wai Chanibare, who were together like this last year, not knowing that for him, that was his own last Hajj. We made over 16 to 7 together. Wai Chanibare, we made over that, over 15 Hajj together. The last year. This time last year, we were seeing ourselves not knowing that he will come with us. Planning this year, we're discussing that a group we used to come has now become something like a social event. They care less about admonition for the pilgrims. All that matters now is five-star hotel in Mecca, five-star in Medina, and then five-star treatment in all of these. So you see people paying up to 15, 18, 25, 30, 40 million. Ikhwa, some people paid 40 million or more to come for this Hajj. Some of us, we maybe 9.5, 10. Some 18. This hotel that we are in Mecca, some agents collected 10 million, 1/8 from their pilgrims for the same hotel that we came here to stay at, 9.5 million. So you can see how some of the Hajj agents, I won't say exploit, but they hike and make these things a bit difficult for people. So myself and the brother last Hajj, this time, we're discussing that we have to talk to the heads of this team that they should not make Hajj a social event where all that matters is just have this hotel and all of this. Because in the past, when we came with them, we used to have a lot of sermons. Things that when people go back, they want to become better human beings. They are more exposed to the religion. More so that when you are at Hajj, you are far away from business. You are far away from family. You have come to devote yourself to Allah. So the circumstance aids admonition. But now, that admonition part of it has been dropped. All that matters is five-star hotel. Even the proper guidance is not there for performing the Hajj itself. Myself and Waid, we are discussing that we have to engage these people. Because I was wondering, why did he not come with so good? That thing has turned to social event too. So we said, don't worry, when we get back to Nigeria, we are going to address it. We go back to Nigeria, he fell ill, and he died from that illness. May Allah forgive the brother. Well, this is, now at least he has intention to do good. He also has intention to come to Hajj this year. So intend good, plan good, intend good. The least thing you gain from it, you'll be rewarded for good intentions. Our ikhlas are from al-a'malul qalbiyah, al-ibadatul qalbiyah, those acts of worship that are connected to our heart. So may Allah forgive the brother Wahid, take care of his family behind him, protect them, his grave a place of ease and comfort for him. We too, whenever our times come, ikhwah, may Allah make it be that he is pleased with us, he has forgiven us, and let it be upon the deeds of iman for us. Ya Zal Jalal wal Ikram. And like I had said, those of us at home, may Allah accept our acts of worship, make things easy for us, forgive us, make us live for many more years. Sometimes I met one old man. That time he was a commissioner in Ogun State. He told me that he had performed Hajj 5 times. That year, that Hajj was his 6th Hajj. And he said to me that it is now that he's thinking that he has performed Hajj. That means it is possible that you are doing something. Allah gives you long life to be able to do it better. Yes, you might be doing it wrong. From the favor of Allah upon you is that you are now able to do it right. If you died when you are doing it wrong. If death came when it was wrong. But if you are doing it wrong, and Allah gave you long life to be able to right the wrong, then wallahi, Allah has favored you. So Allah, we beg you, give us long life upon goodness, so that we are able to perfect our good deeds, and then we are able to eschew our shortcomings. There are shortcomings that we may find difficult to leave immediately. If you have long life, you have opportunity to gradually drop them and become a better person over the day. So Allah, long life is good. We beg you, give us. We also beg you to give us arzak, wealth, good money. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ni'm al-mal salih li rajulin salihin. That good wealth is a nice thing for a man who is also righteous. Lawful wealth, ikhwah. Lawful wealth is very good for a righteous man. Allah, we beg you, give us lawful wealth, righteous wealth with which we will do acts of righteousness. We beg you, Ya Zal Jalal wal Ikram. We also beg you regarding our wives and our children, or our husbands, as the case may be. Rectify all of us, O Allah. Protect us, forgive us. Grant us wellness and soundness in our dealings, in our homes. It is one of the benefits of Hajj. For those at Hajj, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Bamina anhum tabi'at. Allah guarantees their tabi'at. Their tabi'at are the rights they owe people that they were not able to pay. Allah said, I forgive you, I guarantee. And he loved it for us. So we have rights regarding our wives, rights regarding our husband that we fall short in. Allah, we beg you, forgive those rights. Forgive us, Ya Zal Jalal wal Ikram. Rectify our affairs and protect us. Likewise, our children, Ya Rabbal Alameen, we beg you to help us rectify them. Those ones that are steadfast upon your deen. Pin their feet on your deen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Make them your sons. We have people, friends, brothers, sisters, who daily beg Allah to rectify their children. Allah, we beg you, rectify these boys and girls. We beg you, Allah, rectify these boys and girls. Make them know you. Make them worship you. Make them draw near you. Make them revere you. Make them respect you. Make them love you. Out of your mercy. If you do it, nobody will hold you. You so do it. Ya Zal Jalal wal Ikram. Ya Hayy. Allahumma Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Amma sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. I also like to thank all of us for our work towards the construction of Masjidul Amin. on the day of Arafah, stroke the day of Eid, I can say without any fear of contradiction, I don't think I have seen something like that. Within those 2 days, the evening of Arafah and the morning of Yom Nahari, the contribution rose with about 60 million ikhwa. From the evening of Arafah to the morning of Yom Nahari, the contribution rose by about 60 million, 60. I don't know what to say than firstly thank Allah and then thank all of us that we have participated in this fundraising to build Masjidul Amin. May Allah make the building of this masjid something He has already preordained. Make it easy. Make the masjid a place of presence amongst your servants. Make it a means of benefit lil ibadi wal bilad. I thank all of us, men, women, and yesterday, who noticed for 2 days not send the updates. That was because we obtained the complete from day one of banking to the last studying the approach to the donations. Firstly, the biggest donors were women. Oh Allah, the intention of all these your female servants for their donation, Allah will beg you to resolve it for them. Allah, resolve the worry is if it's about earning a sadaqah that never ends, make it a sadaqah that will never end for them. Ya Zal Jalal wal Ikram. The women were the biggest donors. 500, 1,000, 2,000. For me, it's a misdaq, is a confirmation of the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that innama tunsaruna bidu'afaikum. Allah will help you in this ummah through your weak ones, women and the children, from their dua for you. They've been making dua. So that 1,000 is sent. It is with a lot of dua. It is different from the 5 million without dua. When they give you 200 naira, wallahi, women, it is with dua. I remembered a woman who was struggling to send the money. I think her bank had issues. She sent messages to me. Please send that money for me. I will send it back to you. You could see the woman was worried when her transaction was failing. So it is with a lot of eagerness and passion to do good and contribute to goodness. Allah reward all these women with goodness in this world and in the hereafter. Bismillah, as soon as we return from Hajj, the work properly will start. We beg Allah to make it a work that will do very, very fastly. We have pledges regarding so many other things. The rug in the masjid, the solar power in the masjid, and very many other donations. May Allah accept it all. May Allah accept it all. May Allah accept it all. Reward all the donors with goodness in this dunya and hour. Ya Zal wal Ikram. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. I can see that there are a few questions here from our brothers. And Ummahat. One question said, sir, I intend to get married and I'm scared most of the times. Please pray for me that Allah makes it easy for me and grants me the right spouse. Don't be afraid as long as you have dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that ad-du'a'u yanfa'u fima hima nazala wa fima lam yanzil. You want a righteous man. That righteous man is also making dua for a righteous woman. With your dua, Allah will connect the two of you. I assure you, Just keep on making dua. Make good efforts. Stay within the limits of the Sharia. Allah would provide you a sound and a suitable righteous husband. Sometimes a man may be righteous, but it's not suitable for you. Will give you a righteous, suitable husband. Suitable for you and righteous, bi'idhnillah. Allah will provide you, bi'idhnillah. It's the time for dua. Allah accept it, especially for those of us who are still at Hajj. We still have a lot of opportunities for dua. Yes. Allah accept all our supplications and forgive all our shortcomings. We also have some of our brothers saying that Allah bless their wives with children. Our sisters and our brothers have married. They are expecting to have children. Allah, you gift children. A brother messaged me on the day of Arafah. They were fixing his nikah. And the father of the proposed wife insisted that they must do tests to show whether the brother is able to impregnate, to show sex cells, motility or activity, all that, to show whether the girl is also able to get pregnant. So he's asking me, is that lawful? So I said to him that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to marry women who are productive. And generally in the Sharia, marrying a woman or a man who can give back to children is makruh. So if we have a way of knowing, and that way is not prohibited in the Sharia, there is no wrong knowing if we have a way to verify that, and that way is not unlawful, maybe by way of going to Afajalabi or through Seher or through all of these other means that we know the Sharia has prohibited. But if we know clear-cut means of knowledge that shows that we can verify these points, there's no blame verifying it. I now said, however, if you verify that you can have a child, she too, she can have children. That is not guaranteed that you have children. But may Allah grant you children. Because Allah, that you are seen. If you try some things, you will be tried with it too. Yes, if you try some things, Allah will make that thing a means of trial for you. May Allah never make it a means of trial for that brother. Despite the fact that the parents of the girl were insisting that they want to know whether they can have children. Yes, you can do the test, but don't keep it in your mind that because you have now been confirmed that you can have children, that means you will have children. No. Children are a gift from Allah. Allah says, Yahabu liman yasha. Hiba means gift. Yahabu. He gifts whomever he wills. Inasa. He gifts girls. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. And to whomever he wills, he gift. So if Allah does not give you that gift, there is nothing that you can do. He says, وَيَجَعَلُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ أَكِيمًا. As he wills, he will not give anybody depending on how he wills. So Allah, we beg you, give us this gift of children for our brothers, for our sisters who have had marriage and are still expecting children. I like to tell you to be hopeful. I know a brother who waited for 11 years before they got a child. He still had up to 3 to 4 children. My own mother waited for 7 years. I never knew until she told me. 7 years before she had my first brother. And we are 7 that she had. Me, that I'm talking, Abu Nasser. My mother was held on after marriage for 7 years. So be patient, bi'idhnillah. Allah will grant you children. Don't stop making dua. Don't stop hoping in Allah. Don't stop giving sadaqat. Don't stop fasting. all those sadaqat, dua, fasting you are making, begging Allah. Allah likes it. He likes it. He's enjoying it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He likes you. He's pleased with it. So continue and be hopeful. May Allah grant our brothers and our sisters, children who are righteous, who will not be a means of fitna for their parents. Sometimes children are a means of trial for their children, for their parents. We beg Allah not to give us children like this. And it is from the way of the right people to beg Allah for children. That's why Ibadur Rahman, from their dua, is that they say, Rabbana hablana min azwajina zurriyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. May Allah grant all our brothers and our sisters, may Allah grant them children. Those who are still looking for husbands, we beg Allah to grant them suitable and righteous husbands. Those who are looking for wives, we beg Allah to grant them suitable and righteous husbands. We also like to make dua ikhwa for our country, Nigeria. Me, Abu Nasir, I'm from those who love this country. I took up a lot of brothers when we came here for Hajj. Those of our brothers who ran away, I would say, to UK, to US. It's not unlawful to go out of the country to seek means of livelihood. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, before Islam, he was well known for traveling into Eastern Africa, Abyssinia, and neighboring regions to trade. The same thing Uthman ibn Affan. These two people were known with long journeys. Allah mentioned Rishlat al-Shita, it was safe. So making Rishlat journeys to seek wealth is not unlawful. It's very, very lawful. So, but when we go, don't make that a means of complaining against Nigeria. That Nigeria is bad should not justify your journey. No. Go because you want to go. Don't start creating pictures as if Nigeria is bad and it will never be bad. If it will never be bad, your own parents are there. Your father and mother are there. Your sisters are there if you escaped. Allah, we beg you out of your mercy. Rectify our affairs in Nigeria. Allah, rectify our affairs in Nigeria. Rectify the affairs of our leaders. Our president today is President Bola Ahmed Tinubu. Allah, rectify him, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, guide him, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, guide him, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, guide him, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, make his decisions proper for us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, make his decisions proper for us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, give him people who give him good advices while governing us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, protect all of us in the country. Oh Allah, protect us. Oh Allah, protect us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. And his deputy, Kasim Tashatima or something. I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce the name properly. Allah, guide them both, Ya Rabbal Alameen. I respect and I have studied a bit how the wife of the president is a wife. That woman, she has been a wife. One thing that I've been begging Allah is, Allah, make her become a Muslim. This woman, Allah, she's your servant and her mind is in your hand. Turn her upon the path of Al-Islam, so that all her goodness, she will earn it on the day of Qiyamah. If a person is good and you are not a Muslim, if you die, the good will not have any. It's like someone working without an account in a bank. No account. Where will your money be paid into? It is iman in Islam that gives you the right to be able to earn rewards for goodness. That woman appears to be a very good woman, the wife of the president. Allah, we beg you, make this woman to love Islam, make her come into Islam. May make her come into Islam, Ya Abul Jalal, and make them a means of guidance for the people. Protect us, Ya Rabbal Alam. Protect our land. Grant us peace. Grant us protection. One major challenge now is security for everybody. Allah protect us. Allah protect us. Allah protect us. One thing that was a means of problem for Arabs. Allah said, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ. Allah said, do the people of Makkah, do they not see what we have done for them? Allah said, جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا. We made haram to be a place of safety and security. While يُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ. People were being kidnapped around Makkah at the time. But Allah didn't allow it to come into Makkah. Allah protect our homes, Ya Rabbal Alam. Protect our lands. Protect our farms. Protect our roads, Ya Rabbal Alam. All these people carrying guns and killing people around. Allah, hold them back away from themselves. Oh Allah, hold them back away from us. Oh Allah, hold them back away from us. Ya Zal Jalal. Ya Hayy Ya Qayyum. Our brothers, many of us, there are a lot of things we want to ask Allah. Allah, answer those du'as better than we want them. Allah, answer those du'as better than we think of them. Oh Allah, answer those du'as better than we anticipate them. You are Allah mul-Ghuyub. Even the ones we have not thought about but that we need, you know them. Give us, Ya Rabbal Alam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin. وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. I will not forget to pray for the rest of our dead ones, our parents, our wives, our sisters, one of our brothers, Abu Amina Inenemo. I think 3 days ago, one of his cousins passed away. Beg Allah to forgive her. Make her grave a place of ease for her. Someone I also remembered now was our elder brother, Muddathir Nii Sanuk. Allah forgive him. Allah forgive him. Make the grave a place of ease and comfort for him. Likewise, our parents, our wife that passed away. Ya Allah, forgive all of them. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا هب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.